In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and unto the ages of all ages. Amen. Our meditation this evening is entitled Living for Christ. And it's being inspired from a verse in the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 14, verse 8. And it reads, "For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." Just a few hours ago, earlier today, there was a big procession downtown regarding the martyrs of Nag Hammadi. And really, all over the world, there has been a lot of demonstrations and rallies in order to stop killing Christians in Egypt. And also, if we have been following the news, I'm sure everyone is, regarding the earthquake in Haiti, and the death toll continues to rise, and even those who have survived are struggling with medical care, and those who are passing away due to illnesses or sicknesses or untreated sicknesses, you know, is a large number as well. And also, opening the radio nowadays, every day, you find a pedestrian has been struck. And there's just so much of the news of death and killing and people struggling. What is happening? And how do we view the whole concept of death? The Holy Scriptures told us that what is our life? St. James asked this question, what is your life? It is but a vapor that appears for a bit and then it disappears. Just like the smoke that you see coming out of any chimney, or the shoria, or anything that produces smoke, just appears for a bit and then disintegrates with the air, and then you don't see it. So it's saying that our life here on earth is extremely fragile. And as our church fathers taught us, that this short time here on earth, living on earth, will have a huge effect to our eternal life. So this short time, imagine this short time that we live here on earth for a few years will determine our eternity. Speaking about passing away or death is usually connected to funerals. And whenever we open the subject, people may feel that we are gloomy or pessimist. But as a matter of fact, when we look at the concept of passing from this world to another world, it is a joyful event. It's not very sad or not very gloomy. But of course, as human beings, we are never prepared to lose a loved one or to depart. Because as human beings, we are connected to one another, others, and God has created in this manner that we have this connection, emotional connection and physical connection and psychological connection. And we need one another to continue living here on earth. But I think if we can have the idea of being ready, as our Lord Jesus spoke several times about his second coming, that it will be as the thief coming in the night, many occasions we will not be prepared for it. It will just be, or it will happen all of a sudden. Then if we have the right concept of passing away, or understanding that our temporal life here on earth is just a mere preparation for something greater and much more amazing that is still to come, then it will not be as gloomy or as morbid as some people may feel. Indeed, we will live our life here on earth joyful. Like, I mean, we will not be pessimistic here on earth and say, oh, I'm dying anyway, so what's the point of succeeding? What's the point of, you know, having fun? No, that's not the point at all. But while we are living our life here in Christ, we are preparing ourselves for something that is much greater, that awaits all of us. And for this reason, St. Paul, who had everything to live for, he was a successful person, very well educated, he studied the law, he had everything going for him. But he understood that it doesn't matter if we are living or we are not living, there is something that is a common denominator. We are living for Christ, and we are dying for Christ. Whether we live or we die, we are Christ. So let's take this verse and try to unpack some of the meditations in it and some of the lessons that we can live by our life here on earth, so that whenever we hear about passing away or martyrdom, we will not be very shocked, but we will understand that, you know, God has chosen these people in a way to live with Him eternally, and He will give them much joy, which is still to come, which awaits all of us. St. Paul says in the verse previous to this one, Romans 14:7, "For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, or we live to Christ." Our Lord Jesus, before even our life here on earth, He has chosen us. As He spoke to Jeremiah, the prophet, in His book, Jeremiah 1, verse 8, saying that before even He was born, He has chosen Him. So it's not something strange that we are living now in Christ, because He has chosen us before the beginning of time. And He said to him that before I formed you, in the womb I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So God has given to each one of us a gift, which is the gift of life. And He is going to ask us, how were we faithful in it? There are billions of people on the face of the earth today who are living, who are alive. But they are not living for Christ or for the Lord. But St. Paul focuses our life here on earth to say, for if we live, we live for Christ, to the Lord. Also, Moses had everything. Moses was educated with all the knowledge and wisdom of the Egyptians. And it was very easy for him to mingle in with the Egyptians, with Pharaoh and his household. And when we look in the book of Exodus, beginning of the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verses 3 to 10, we see what happened with Moses. After he was born, his mother could no longer hide him, and she took an ark of bulrushes for him and daubed it with asphalt and pitch and put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept, so she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Of course, the name Moses means out of the water, because mu'u is the water in Pharaonic and also in Coptic, in the Pharaonic language, right? And so mu'u says means from the water, coming out of the water. God has given him a new life. And we believe that God is the provider of life, and he is the one who takes away this life. And God's provision has kept Moses from drowning in the Nile. Could have been very easily destroyed and killed like any of the other children. But God, who preserved his life, he came back at a certain time as his mother taught him that he was one of the Hebrews, and he wasn't so much affected by the life of Pharaoh in the palace. He knew his identity, and he lived in Christ all the days of his life. He lived in the Lord, knowing who he is. And for this reason, St. Paul comes back many centuries afterwards, and he looks at the life of Moses, and he learns from it. And he comments in Hebrews 11, 24 to 29 on his life by saying, "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." This is what it means to live in Christ, to live in the Lord. For if we live for the Lord. We live for Christ. So yes, he was brought up in the palace, but he refused because he knew that his life came from the hands of God, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. It is so easy to say, we are just living for this temporal world. 1 hour for your heart and 1 hour for God. Just to keep God quiet, I will be in the church, or, you know, I will do a little service here or there, or be nice to people. But not the whole heart is with God. And this is what the Lord is asking and requesting of us. My son, give me your heart, your entire heart. For if we live here, we live for the Lord. We live in Christ. This is what he is requesting for us. So this gift of life that he has given us, he wants us day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, to live in him and for him, and to observe him all the days of our lives, in every aspect of our lives. Whether we are working for Christ. Whether we are praying for the Lord. Whether we are playing or praying or working or with friends or socializing or exercising or serving even in the church, not for my own personal glory, but for his own glory. Thus God becomes so clear in every minute of my life, every aspect, every angle. He refused to be called the son of the daughter of Pharaoh, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. It gives us a huge dimension into the spirituality of Moses. And this is how did Moses know about Christ. Like he is speaking here that he wants to get the riches of the treasures of Christ rather than the riches and treasures of Egypt. The reproach of Christ. What brought Christ here? No, Christ is and has always been the target of the law. He has been always the point of the law. Every prophet knew that this was the end, but the Messiah was still to come. And Christ was the point and the focus and the end of the law. So he wanted to go through this reproach with the people of God rather than to enjoy his life temporarily here on earth. And this is the beauty of the law, that God gives the first step. He gives life. He preserves our lives. He chooses us to serve him. But as we grow older in Christ, we have to make this mental decision that we are for Christ. For if we live, we live for Christ. We will not be torn between the two camps. This is exactly what happened in the time of Elijah. That the people were torn between two camps. Baal was known as the god of fertility. So if a woman would not bear and conceive any children, they would pray to this god called Baal. Or also fertility as in blessing of the crops. So if a land would not yield too much crops, they would also offer sacrifices to this Baal god. And the people were torn because maybe some of their prayers were not answered by God, and they started to be between the two camps. If Baal is going to bring us prosperity and blessing, we are going to go and offer him sacrifices. But we know mentally in the back of our minds that God is the God of heaven and earth, and he's the creator, and he is the one who took us by hand and our forefathers from the land of Egypt, and he has given us the promised land. And when we didn't obey him, we fell captive in the hands of our enemies, and they began to intermingle their worship between Baal and between Jehovah, is the God of the Hebrews, as he was known at that time. So God was extremely angry, because they didn't live for the Lord. They didn't live for Christ. Other worships and practices started to seep into their lives. So even Ahab, who was a Jewish king, and Jezebel, both of them were supposed to know better and to teach the people better. So Elijah came on Mount Carmel, and he started to speak to them very strongly, saying, and Elijah came to the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. The people answered not a word. How long will you falter between the two camps? It's a problem to many of us, and to me personally, up until this day, because we want the best always of both worlds. We want to enjoy the temporal world, and we want to say, but we have eternal life also, and that these things do not contradict. But the Lord wants us to live for him, and to make up our mind, which camp are we on? Are we for him, or are we against him? No one could ever work, you know, between two enemies. No one could be part of the light and the darkness. Imagine if two countries are at war with each other. If someone who is from this country joins the other country, they consider this treason, and it is punishable by the law. But we want to do this. We want to have the best of both worlds. I think if we make that decision mentally and spiritually and say we are the Lord's, or we belong to the Lord, we will be able to live in the world and not affected by the world. All the troubles, all the fiery darts of the evil one that he throws at us, will not affect us, or will not harm us, or at least will be able to defend ourselves in the Lord, because we are living in the Lord. The word or the phrase in the Lord, or in Christ, or in the Spirit, or in Jesus, is repeated more than 65 times in the New Testament, in the Lord. So this is what God intends for us, to live in him. For if we live, we live for the Lord, we live in the Lord. Every day that passes by, he is in control of this moment. And he is the eyeglasses or the lenses that we look at every situation that we go through. Yes, indeed, even if we are living in the Lord or for the Lord, we may fall at times and we will disobey his commands, but we will quickly come back and repent and tell him, Lord, it was a lapse, it was a mistake, but we do not belong for the world, this present and temporal world. We live for you and by you and through you. For if we live, we live for the Lord and in the Lord. Many people, and I could be the first one, who began their lives in the Lord and through the Lord, but quickly they fell away. Just like Demas in 2 Timothy 4, verse 16, Demas started out with St. Paul very good. He was a disciple, he was enthusiastic for the ministry, but quickly he fell away and he denied the presence of Christ in his life. 2 Timothy 4:16 reads, at my first defense no one was with me, but all forsook me, may it not be charged against them. And just before that, verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be careful, might be preached fully through me, and that the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Demas was mentioned in the same chapter, verse 10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. So Demas and Alexander the coppersmith, many of them began as disciples, and they committed their life for Christ. But quickly they got bombarded with all that was happening in the world around them, and they forgot about the mission and the ministry and forsook Christ. And there are also some disciples who began with our Lord Jesus. They began well and on track, but quickly they forgot about the Lord and ended up in the end of the life of our Lord Jesus before his crucifixion to deny him. My beloved, our beloved Saint Peter, I apologize, Saint Paul in Philippians 1:27, he says, basically, do anything, but just keep in mind one thing, Philippians 1:27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. This greatest message, everything that God has done for us, He has given us so much freedom. But if we just keep in mind that we are living now for Christ and our conduct to be worthy of the gospel of Christ, imagine how Christians are going to be so much effective in the world that we live in. Last week I saw a nice picture on the front page of the Toronto Star, and it was of a woman who had been pulled from in Haiti after, I think, 8 days. And they asked her, what were you doing for 8 days? How was it like after 8 days and you're still alive? And I was really surprised with her comment that was printed on the front page of the Toronto Star, saying that I give up discussion with any human being and I started speaking to my Creator and the one who can save me, and who is God. And they wrote that. I can't remember the exact quote, but this is what it meant, what it was said. That she began just speaking for 7 or 8 days to the God of heaven and earth, and this was her entire conversation. And she was pulled out of the wreckage alive and so much damage. And so many people around the world are blaming God for what is happening, while the people who are inside of it, they still see God and they experience Him, and they are still living for Christ, even right in the middle of this huge trial that they went through. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Truly, our life here on earth begins to be counted at the moment that we have experienced and believed in Christ. Everything beforehand has been a complete waste, and everything after we have experienced and believed in Christ. And this is something that I hear quite a bit from individuals who believe in the Lord as adults or are baptized as adults. When you ask them, how old are you? When someone asks them, how old are you? They always say, I'm 2 years old or 5 years old, referring to the moment that they were baptized or the moment that they have really surrendered to the Lord Jesus as Savior, as lover, as one whom they can live for and also die for without any fear. And that's why in the story of the prodigal son, the father considered that he was dead, and he was only alive in the moment that he came back to him. Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 15. There are, of course, three stories of three things that were lost. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And when the older brother started to complain, you know, about all the things that the younger brother was receiving, and he would not go up, and he rejoiced, and he told him that you are with me all the time, but it was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and now is found. So again, he's saying, even if we die, we die for the Lord. So that moment of change that is going to occur to us is the moment that we begin counting our life. So many people around us, they die for different things. Could be spending their life in their education, or spending their life in, or dying in war, or something that is very worthwhile, and that's okay. But what St. Paul is telling us here is that the best way to die is to die for the Lord. As He becomes the focus of our life, He is the center, and for this reason, even if we are faced with any trials or tribulations or hardships, we are always in the Lord and being ready for this particular moment. Our Lord Jesus forewarned us, and He gave us an idea that we should never fear or be afraid. Because even if someone kills, they are only killing the body, they are not killing the soul. As mentioned in Matthew 10, verse 28, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And then He assures us of His care and love to us by saying, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." This is what our Lord Jesus wants us to live by, knowing that we are very precious in His sight. And if anyone even dares to take away our temporal life, then that's all they can take away. But there is much more eternally that awaits for us. St. Augustine has such a nice meditation in his book called the Confessions, speaking to God philosophically and saying, how do we know that our life here on earth is the real death, and life is what comes afterwards? That we always refer to our life here as living, and then people dying or passing away. St. Augustine saying it's the opposite, and he compares like a child in their mother's womb, this life compared to the one that is still to come. So he speaks by saying that a child thinks in their mother's womb that they are living, but they haven't experienced yet life in the world after they are born. It's not just this small compartment that, you know, they spend 9 months. They are speaking metaphorically or like spiritually, that the child is thinking in their mind, oh, how wonderful and marvelous is this life, and they're still in their mother's womb. Or they're saying, oh, how horrible is this life, look at me, how I'm trapped, and that's all they think about life. But as soon as they are born, you see that the world is much bigger and much brighter, and many things are still to come. And this is what St. Augustine is saying, we are here still like a child in their mother's womb, and we don't know what is still to come. And once we are born into this life, we're going to discover things just like a little child, an infant, or a baby in their mother's womb. You know, the comparison of the mother's womb to the whole world, also this world to the world which is still to come, is something that is magnificent and it is amazing. Therefore, when we as Christians keep our focus on heaven, and a spiritual focus, and even for those who harm us or wish us harm, we are continuously praying for them, because the power of the church has always been in prayer, not in taking arms, not in violence. This is our prayer, and it will continue to be our way of fighting back. It's not really fighting, but it is submitting to the Lord who fights on our behalf, and He is in control, and He is the Lord of Lords. As long as we submit to Him, and we tell Him, Lord, we are going to live for You. Our time, our effort, our emotion is going to be dedicated for You. We are going to live for you now. And even if you choose us or you call us to die, whether a natural death or martyrdom or in any other way, we are also going to die for you. For if we live, we live to if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we also die to the Lord. And then he sums it up by saying, therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. It doesn't really matter what is our status, because we know that our place in heaven is always reserved for us, and no one is ever going to take it away from us. We are all, the circumstances may differ in the way that we pass from this temporal world into the next world that is awaiting from us. And cultures are going to be different, and countries are going to be different, and family members or friends. But one thing always remains unchangeable, which is, and unshakable, which is our faith and our life, our love to God. And that's why he says, whether we live or die, we are the Lord. This is the one consistent aspect in all of our lives that will never change or will never be shaken. St. Matthew quotes our Lord Jesus in Matthew 24, verses 9 to 10, by saying, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all the nations for my name's sake, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another, and many false prophets are going to rise, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And that's why we need to hold on fast to the commands of our Lord Jesus, and to the scripture, and to the word of God that gives us so much peace in our hearts, even in the moments of trouble or persecution. If we do it on our own in a human way, we're going to stray away. But as long as we are rooted in the word of God, we will be able to go back to the word and to the teachings of the church fathers and look how our Lord Jesus taught us, because he is the guide for our life. And when we understand whether we live or we die, we are the Lord, then this will bring us so much comfort and peace which surpasses all understanding to our lives. Christianity is in no way a weak religion. Just the fact that we don't use human ways or, you know, ways of the world around us to resolve problems doesn't mean that we are weak. But our method is much stronger and much more effective in the long term. Moses, when he was crossing the Red Sea, God could have done so many things. He could have taken arms. But what he wanted to do is, God said to him, wait on the Lord, and you will see the salvation of the Lord. You will see what God can do. And the way that Moses was trapped between the Red Sea from one end and Pharaoh and his chariots from the other end, he was toast. But God is amazing, because he had the solution for the problem, and they all kept their peace. He who endures to the end surely will be saved. My beloved, I think this verse is really a motto to our lives, something that we need to keep in mind all the time, that we need to be faithful to the message of Christ. We need to live in him and by him and through him. For if we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. Whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. It's the most worthwhile vision for anyone's life, is to live for the Lord and to praise his holy name. May God's word always comfort our hearts in any time of persecution or hardship, that we may return to him, and he will surely send us a message of peace and of comfort to be able to deal with life's challenges in the most spiritual way, knowing that he is our vision and our focus. And nothing apart from his word is going to direct our lives. For if we stick to the Lord's words, surely those who endure to the end will be saved. May the Lord bless us this evening and always. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.